Terry Grade this morning pointed out that in order to complete a sermonette or 10 or 15 minutes, one of the things you have to do is decide what not to speak about. And I'm guessing if you're listening on a Thursday afternoon to this service that you already know that it is Sabbath, that you know that it's a part of God's commanded Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that you know at least the basics of the day, including that we're commanded to, or basics of the feast, that we're commanded to avoid eating leavened foods and instead to eat unleavened foods. So I won't review all of the aspects of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but I am going to review one aspect, which is God's the command that God gave us to give an offering to him. And if you would, please turn to Exodus 23. And we'll look at one place where this command is given. Exodus 23 and verse 15. And it says, "You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty." So, in other words, an offering is to be made on this feast, which is what "none shall appear before me empty" means. If you would also turn to Deuteronomy 16:16, Deuteronomy 16:16, and we see the commandment repeated here. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So again, as many verses show, not appear before the Lord empty-handed means that an offering is to be given today. So the question is, how much are we supposed to give? What's the formula or the math for this? And we see that answer actually in the next verse. So Deuteronomy 16:16 says, "And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." And verse 17 says, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you." So we see a principle repeated here, and actually repeated throughout the Bible, that we are to give as we are able, as God has blessed us. And if you would also look at Deuteronomy 16:10, and we see this the same principle applied regarding the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. Deuteronomy 16:10 says, "Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you." So God doesn't ask us to give what we don't have, but he does ask us or tell us to give according to how he has blessed us. And again, we see this example throughout the Bible. If you would, please notice this in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8:12, and if you are taking notes, if you have room to take notes, I know we're kind of crowded in here today. 2 Corinthians 9:12 and 2 Corinthians 8:4 show the context, which is talking about giving to those who are in need in the church or caring for them. But in 2 Corinthians 8:12, we see Paul teaching the same principle that we just read about in Deuteronomy and Exodus. 2 Corinthians 8:12, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have." So in other words, our offering today and our offering to help others, we should be done according to our ability. God doesn't expect us to give what we do not have. Also notice the focus of this verse is not just on the amount, but on the manner in which we give. And this is even more clear when you read the literal translation of this verse. So 2 Corinthians 8:12 in the New King James says, "For if there is first a willing mind," and the literal translation says, "For if the eagerness is present," "for if the eagerness is present, it is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." And if you look at the word "willing" in the Strong's, it's G4288, you'll see that eagerness or readiness is a much better translation. And I think the difference between willingness and eagerness is critical. There's a massive difference between being willing to do something and being eager to do something. We might be willing to do some things out of necessity. An example might be go to work because we need to pay our bills. But other things that we're eager for are usually things that we love to do. So if we love our job, then we'll be eager to go to work, not just willing. And this applies, as we just read, to our offerings also. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, we see this concept applied. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So, in other words, God wants us to give not only out of necessity, not only because it's a commandment, but because of the love that we have in us and that we're actually eager to follow his commandments. Again, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. "For if the eagerness is present, it is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." So we are commanded to give. The act of giving matters, but it also matters that we give with a right heart. Someone once said that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about giving without love, and James 2 talks about the impossibility of loving without giving. If you'd like to, you can actually turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I had to modify my message a little bit once I learned the topic that Mr. Link was going to speak about, but only a little. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, Paul says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." And Paul is very explicit about what this means if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, "Love suffers long and is kind." So to paraphrase 1 Corinthians 13, 3, "Though I give all that I have, but don't have love, or don't have kindness, it doesn't have any profit for me." 1 Corinthians 13:4 and verse 5, "Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil." So love invests time and effort and forethought in taking care to treat others well and to not be offensive to them, which includes simple things like not being rude to others, but being considerate and thoughtful and caring. So to give physical things without giving this kind of love is not profitable. And again, 1 Corinthians 13:3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So again, to quote, we can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. And the second part of this we can see in James 2, verse 15. James 2, verse 15. And we'll read through to verse 17. "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled.'" So have these nice thoughts about what we wish would happen for others. "But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body," showing that at times we have to give physical things. "What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And we could say that love without works is dead also. It is possible to give without love, but it is not possible to love without giving. And not only that, we should be eager to give both of our goods and of ourselves and our heart. And we should give with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. One other aspect of giving I like to cover is that when we give an offering, We are simply giving back to God what he has first given to us. And if you would, turn to 1 Chronicles 29. And this applies whether it's money or time or opportunity. All those things, our breath has been given to us by God. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9 through 13. Then the people rejoiced, for they had willingly or eagerly offered. Because with a loyal heart or a perfect heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. And the context here is people offering to build the temple, giving offerings to build the temple. In verse 10, therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. I'm going to skip to verse 12. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And then in verse 14, we see this just tremendous example of humility that's given with the offerings. In verse 14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given to you. And keep in mind that it is God's anointed, that is King David, chosen after Saul, who's saying these things. So it's a tremendous example of humility. So, brethren, let us keep the command to give an offering today. Not just willingly, but eagerly, and with the great humility and thankfulness to God that we see exemplified in the example that we just read. Before I conclude here, I wanted to add this thought, and also let us not just give financially today, but let us give love and kindness every day. Let us generously give kindness and courtesy. And I have a quote here from a German author whose name I couldn't possibly pronounce. I think Mr. Link knows who I'm talking about. And he said, be generous with kindly words, especially about those who are absent. Another author said, no one is too big to be courteous, but some are too little. So let us always give generously of kindness and courtesy. Let us also be generous not just in giving advice, but in giving a helping hand with the advice. And someone said, there is no better exercise for the heart than reaching down and lifting people up. And let us not just give advice and a helping hand, but also an outstanding example. And in 1 Corinthians 10, which I'll read for you, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 through 33, Paul said, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. And then in Romans 15, verse 2, this is the last verse, Romans 15, 2 and 3, for let each one of us please his neighbor for good to building up. For also Christ did not please himself. So in conclusion, whatever we give, let us give with the same humility and eagerness and thankfulness that David showed in 1 Chronicles. And the verse is 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I, or who are we, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this?